Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back. Stuart Rosenthal joins me. Stuart, good morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
What do you have for the beacon bits for us today?
Well, why don't we start with the travel section this time?
All right.
We have an article about Chattanooga, Beyond the Choo-Choo. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me, boy.
Yes, everybody knows that song. That's really put it on the map, I guess, in a lot of ways. But to put it on the map in a different suggestion, we're going to say it's at the Tennessee's border with Georgia, just in case you wondered.
Okay.
And it's got a lot of very interesting features, some fairly quirky, but others, you know, very nice that everybody would like. I should mention that it didn't used to be known as much of a city. In 1969, Walter Cronkite dubbed it America's Dirtiest City.
Oh, my.
It was highly industrial, lots of smokestacks. The Tennessee River was a sewer of lead and heavy metal. It was really terrible, apparently, but it really sparked a renaissance. The fact that he called it that got everybody, you know, acting to fix its reputation. And for the last couple of years, Outside Magazine has called it the best town ever. So it really has changed its, its spots. So a couple of interesting facts you might not have known or even cared, but anyway, you didn't know. It has more than 10,000 caves, more than any other area of the United States, in that part of the United States. It has a lot of aquatic diversity. They are the salamander capital of the world. 11% of the world's salamanders are in Chattanooga.
Wow.
Are these weird facts or what?
Yeah, I guess it is.
So anyway, these connect to the Tennessee Aquarium, which is really the centerpiece of downtown. Almost 200,000 square foot aquarium with an IMAX theater and really some wonderful things to see, including all kinds of penguins and stingrays and alligators and whatnot. So it's a really very interesting place to visit, according to our writer. It's a fairly artsy place now. Although along with the regular museums, modern art, and other kinds of things, they have a very unusual museum, the International Towing and Recovery Museum, celebrating the tow industry, tow trucks from 1916. So if you've fallen in love with tow trucks for some reason, that's your place.
I can't imagine why it hasn't been blown up for the reputation that tow truck drivers have. Yeah, no offense to my tow truck driving listeners here today, folks, you know, inevitably you park in one of those parking lots that says, do not park here unless you expect to be towed. And $350 later, you know, and you're over a barrel.
All right, you have no way to get your car back,
There's no way to get your car back.
Yeah, it does seem. I think there was a lawsuit on that one time to say whether that was really an unjust taking. I guess it never succeeded.
It didn't because, you know, it's America.
Yeah.
You know, you can charge what you want to. And if you choose to park in someone's spot and they want to charge, I don't know. I don't know how that whole thing works. They just want to keep their parking lots clear, I think businesses do.
Right. So you can't blame the tow truck people. It's the place that owns the lot.
That's true. They give them permission.
Right. I wonder if they get a cut, actually. But anyway.
I don't know. I think that's a good question. Maybe we can get an answer from the audience. Shoot us an email at radio@ericstewartgroup.com if you want to tell us whether owners of properties get a cut in a tow truck driver's coos. All right.
Just a quick touch on another travel story, which is interesting. Next year will be the first total solar eclipse in almost four decades that can be seen from the mainland U.S.
Okay.
So people are traveling and booking their hotels and special tours from
tours of the sun.
Well, Wyoming, places where there's lots of dark, you know, open space, lots of outside light. You can really get the feel of the total eclipse when it comes, and it passes right over those states. It passes from Oregon, Wyoming, and Nebraska, straight across over to Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, and up into the Carolinas before it goes out to the Atlantic. And it's going to be quite spectacular. Apparently, the feeling of being in the midst of it during this 30 seconds to 2 minute time frame when this total eclipse occurs is really quite shocking to human beings and all of nature, which, you know, shuts down and comes completely quiet, you know, when it happens. So it used to be, you know, in the old times, ancient times, considered to be a message from the gods.
Right. You could make the sun disappear. That would be pretty powerful if you could predict that, right?
Yes.
So the old Nostradamus.
That's right.
All right. Read about it in the Beacon newspaper. You can pick up your free copy at over, I don't know, 1,500 locations.
That's right. You got it.
All right. And go online to thebeaconnewspapers.com if you want to read a copy there. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
I know you've heard me give the definition of what a mortgage is, right? It's a it means death grip in French. Mort, mortgage. Mort means death, like mortuary, right? To amortize your loan means to kill it. Why is it that these words were introduced in the French language? Well, let's step back in time and think about when you borrow money from a bank, the bank is lending you, frankly, usually other people's money that, for instance, Joe and Mary might put $10,000 into the bank and keep it for safekeeping for a future day, right? And Sally puts $5,000 in, and Bob puts in another $5,000. And anyway, the accumulation of all of the savings over time gives the bank the capital then to turn around and lend that money to put it to work. Now, if the bank is only paying you 0.1 or 0.3 or point, you know, or maybe 1% in for your money when you give them the money, they're turning around and putting that money back out to work and lending it out maybe for 3%. And they're making the spread, the difference between what they are paying out to receive the money and what they're receiving in from the borrower. Now, there was a time in history when the banks would lend money where there was very few places you could go to get cash. And in order to borrow somebody else's money, you had to pay very high interest rates. In fact, the word usury is when people would overcharge people interest rates that were abhorrent. They were huge, maybe 15% interest or 25% interest or 30% interest a year on the money. When I guess, and I'm not sure exactly where this goes back in time, but when the banks were lending money to the point where the borrowers could never pay it back, the mortgage, essentially the death grip, would take the property back into the bank after the person passed. So the person could buy the property, pay the bank over time, but never actually take ownership unless they could pay the property off. In the same way today, think about it. As I understand it, something like 68% of Americans, which is 220 million Americans, have no savings for a rainy day. Zero. They don't have the ability. Actually, if there was a crisis like we had in 2008 and 2009, we had a six-month crisis where everything just sort of stopped for a lot of people. People went into very difficult situations. They were used to paying off credit. They were using credit to pay for other bills. They were using things. If we got into a difficult situation and you couldn't pay your mortgage, you could get behind. The bank could actually institute foreclosure and take the property back. Suppose that went on for a year, 2 years, or the overall economy softened. You need to save money, right? We got to save money. As a buyer, when you are purchasing and you're taking ownership of a home, you want to have the ability to afford that, but also have the savings necessary, which is why banks demand that you actually borrow money, but that you also keep 6 months in reserves. Now, after you purchase and settle the property, it's up to you whether you keep that reserve or not, but they've at least qualified you and made sure that you're able to. And I'm not meaning to scare anybody about what sort of financial fallout there could be from some sort of crisis in the future. I'm really more just saying, if you're going to buy, you want to be prepared. That's all. And you want to keep that reserve in case of an emergency. We all do. It's important that we all have reserves in case of emergencies and that we have savings for the future. So the components of a mortgage are the amount that you borrow, the down payment that you put down, the interest rate, which is the cost of borrowing the money charged by the bank or the lenders, the term, how long it's going to take you to pay that money back, the amortization period, which is the period of time after which the loan will be paid off. So the term of the loan may be 15 years, but the amortization might be 30. That sounds confusing. What I mean is you're fixed for 15 years at a certain interest rate, but it's only killing the mortgage as if you're paying it for 30 years. So after 15 years, you will not have paid it off. You'll have a certain amount of balance due. There might be prepayment penalties for certain kinds of loans, like home equity line of credits, things like that. People ask me, hey, Eric, I'm going to get a home equity line of credit, and then I'm going to sell my house in 5 months. I'm just going to use that money as a down payment for my purchase of something else. They're going to lend me the money for free. Hey, folks, you borrow a home equity line of credit, you have to keep it open generally for 2 to 3 years, or you will be penalized $3,000, sometimes more, for opening it and then closing it so quickly, because that's where the bank is making their money. They're making it off the interest that they hope that you're going to pay over the next 2 to 3 years. And if you don't keep it open, it would be a mistake because you'll have that penalty. If you're not ready to move, you're still 3 or 4 or 5 years away, you might want to go in and get a home equity line of credit open. You don't have to borrow money against it, but at least you have it and it's available. So when it's time, it will have been open for long enough that you won't be penalized for paying it off early. Well, I'm going to have to take another quick break. This is the Savvy Buyer Guide. We're talking about getting your dream house for the best price. Call today at 1-800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104, or go to ericstewartgroup.com to request a copy of the Savvy Buyer Guide. We'll be right back.